Talking today with Oklahoma's 3rd District Congressman, the Honorable Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Frank Lucas. Congressman Lucas, first of all, some breaking news, if you want to call it that. Environmental Working Group raising some cane today in a news conference over the level of subsidies that given to farmers for insurance premiums for crop insurance. They've got some basically broken down some numbers on an individual basis, and they're appalled that, you know, you've got a lot of farmers that are getting $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 in what they say are premium subsidies. Your thoughts and how do we defend crop insurance as we go through this farm bill process?
Well, first of all, Ron, we need to remember that if we're going to step away from the old direct payment process, which has worked so well in the last three farm bills, the most WTO compliant part, if we're going to step away from that, then the focus has got to be somewhere else to create a safety net. Crop insurance, whether I suppose you include the Senate's version of revenue protection or enhancing traditional crop insurance, is just one of the directions we have to go. And insurance of all kinds, whether it's for crop or anything else, requires creating the biggest possible pool so as to spread out the greatest possible risk. The incentives that the federal government provides to get producers into the program are a part of that making that happen. Now, the Environmental Working Group, like a number of very, idealistic liberal groups in this town, the nation's capital, are very focused on where resources go. But if a farm bill is about producing food, then the resources are going to follow the production patterns. And a lot of these things just reflect that these are more aggressive farmers who are using the tools available, and they're planting more acres than traditionally they have, just a part of where we are. So bottom line is, whether it's how the crop insurance programs work, or before that, the direct payment program, or before that, farm bills in general, groups like the Environmental Working Group are just going to look for reasons to criticize, to castigate, to try to prevent us from passing the farm bill. That's just what they're there for. That's what they do.
Would you say it's fair to say then that kind of in that same boat are these other fiscal conservative groups, so one sort of another, that they've attracted, you know, they're attacking the shallow loss program, the ARC program. They're attacking your idea on the House side of you know, enhancing target prices. They're saying, you know, all this is going to cost too much money.
The way I just explained it in my town meetings, Ron, the very liberal wing of the United States House doesn't want to spend any money on rural America. The very right wing of the United States House doesn't want to spend money on anybody for any reason. The key point is, how do you build a coalition of the majority in the middle who want to make sure that we have and continue to have the ability in this country to produce the food and fiber that we need to feed and clothe ourselves, to be the granary of the world, and that's what a farm bill is all about, and not just to make the good times better, but to provide a true safety net in tough times. Our friends on the right, our friends on the left, just don't want to spend the money to make sure that we have the ability to meet our basic needs. I think they're both wrong, but that's just part of the criticisms. Part of the challenges I have as chairman of the House Agriculture Committee is to try and keep a majority of my colleagues focused on what a farm bill is for, why we've needed them since the 1930s, and why we need to work towards passing another farm bill for the next 5 years.
Now, your colleagues over across the Capitol, Ms. Stabenow, Mr. Roberts, and the others, members of the Senate Ag Committee, they're very close to being able to go to the floor with their proposal to be debated on the Senate and the U.S. Senate. Your thoughts about the proposal that they came out with as they get ready to go to the Senate floor?
Well, first of all, I'm very pleased that they were able to pass a bill out of committee, and I wish them well. I want them to pass their farm bill, some version of the farm bill, across the floor of the United States Senate, because their successfully passing some kind of a farm bill in the Senate makes it easier for me, after we've passed our version of the next farm bill in the House, to get floor time in the House and ultimately pass the floor of both chambers so we can go to conference and work out the real farm bill, the ultimate farm bill. That said, the Senate version, I think we could have saved more than $4 billion in the social nutrition program. The House of Representatives passed a piece of legislation not long ago that clearly demonstrated where we could save $33 billion out of the nutrition title without taking one calorie off of the plate of every deserving American. They would just have to prove that their income and their assets levels really meant they qualified for food stamps, $33 billion. I believe that, once again, unlike the Senate bill, that we need to have a policy for the next 5 years that not only keeps the good times good, and that's my concern about shallow loss revenue. If you've had the best prices for the last 5 years and you have a small deviation in price, it's going to pay off. Well, that's great, but I'm more concerned about, and along with that perhaps I should say concerned about, what happens if we have another 1970s or 1990s when supply and or demand shift in such a way that we have a dramatic change in prices for our wheat and our cotton, and for that matter, our corn and our beans and all those products. I want a real safety net, not just keep the good times the best, but if we have a free fall, I want something to catch us. And right now, in the way the Senate bill is put together, there's no real safety net underneath. Those are the kind of differences I think you will see when we address the Farm Bill in the House. But ultimately, they need to pass something so we can get our work done in the House and get the conference and craft the real five-year Farm Bill.
Now, your colleague, Mr. Peterson, has been throwing out some dates as far as actual markup. What's your calendar look like?
My goal is to have the Farm Bill out of the committee before we go home for the 4th of July. So that means the latter part of June. If the Senate can pass their version of the Farm Bill across the floor sometime in June, we are able then to get our work done in committee towards the end of June. Then I think that gives us enough of a window of opportunity to do our version of the bill on the floor, get the conference, and based on my experiences of working with Senator Stabenow in the hurry-up process last fall, I think we can make a conference work rather quickly once each committee has cleared their chamber with a base bill so we can actually sit down together and put that real document on paper.
At this point, when you, I assume you're going to probably have something to the equivalent of a chairman's mark. Do you anticipate it maybe being both a chairman's mark as well as a ranking member's mark?
That is my goal. If any of our folks back home took note of how we handled the ag part of the reconciliation process, where we were challenged to achieve savings in the social nutrition programs and food stamps, SNAP in particular, my goal is to attempt to, as much as possible, craft a farm bill in the way that Colin and I, my ranking member, crafted that proposal. There will be amendments in a committee markup. There will be debate. There will be votes. But as much of the work as can possibly be done and agreed to by all the affected parties before the draft is presented to the full committee, as many details as we can work out, I want to do that. I want to minimize the rancor and debate and discussion. I want to preserve the phrase they use up here, comedy, so that when we go to the floor as much as possible as a unified House Agriculture Committee, R's and D's together.
Mr. Peterson has talked quite a bit also about the target prices, very, very specifically about target prices. I know that you have as well. Do you see that probably as a key element in commodity, the Title I?
From the perspective of the House of Representatives Ag Committee, yes, it will be. If you're going to deliver a true safety net and you want a way to address a collapse in prices, then using some kind of a target price, an assumption price, I'm not sure yet what phrase will be in our draft of the Farm Bill, but establishing levels at which when prices fall that far, our producers know that they'll still have the ability to fall back on those is critically important to me. That's one of the big differences between where the Senate and the House are headed. The Senate puts all of their eggs basically in the shallow loss revenue program. Keep the best of the good times at the top of the peak. The House perspective, and what I want to do, where I think Colin and I are headed, is the concept of choice. As we worked through the proposal last fall, if you want a shallow loss revenue program, I'm not really opposed to that. But I think producers should have the ability then, if they don't want to go that route, to go the target route price, pick the other option, have an absolute safety net on the bottom side. And if you're completely confident that we'll never have a bad day again, that it will rain when it's supposed to, the sun will shine, markets will always be good, prices will be high, then go with shallow loss. But if you live through the 70s or the 90s, or if you're trying to explain to your banker why he or she should be willing to go with you for the long haul as a producer, then I think you might just like this other option, a real safety net.
So you're basically saying that maybe at time of sign-up, you'd allow the farmer to make those type of choices.
That's, I think, a good way to look at where we're probably headed. But the drafting process is ongoing now. The process of working out the details is ongoing now. And it's no small challenge when you make changes of the magnitude that will be made, stepping away from the foundation of the previous three farm bills, the direct payment program, and shifting over to shallow loss and or an option for target price. That's a pretty dramatic change in policy, Ron. There's lots of details to be worked out. I want a clean, as near perfected document as possible when we go to committee, because having to clean up your work on the floor of the U.S. House is a painful process I've watched other chairmen go through.
Right. Now, regarding the differences between you and Ms. Stabenow and the Senate bill and potential House bill, are you really thinking at this point maybe the commodity title and perhaps the nutrition title are going to be the major areas where there will be some differences?
Those are the two biggest challenges. There will always be a list of cats and dogs, so to speak, details that need to be sorted out, and everything from conservation on down. But the two biggest challenges are, how many reforms do you put into the SNAP program, the social nutrition programs? How many dollars in savings can you achieve there and still meet the needs of our fellow Americans? And at the same time, when you step away from the direct payment program, how do you craft a revenue program, shallow loss, whatever you want to call it, and or slash a target price option, so that producers have the ability to pick what's in their best interest from their perspective and do all of this in a way that still meets probably a $33, a $34, $35 billion overall savings. The Senate saves $23 billion. The president's used a $33 billion number. My fiscal conservative colleagues here in the House will demand at least as many dollars in savings as the president's called for. So we have to achieve a greater level of savings than the Senate does if we're going to pass a bill across the floor of the United States House. Under what Speaker Boehner has referenced for all bills this year as an open process, not technically an open rule, but an open process. So that means everything we do in committee will be subject to potentially lots of amendments, debate, and discussion on the floor of the House. Not necessarily from members, perhaps, who understand farm bills or ag policy or rural America. That's the challenge.
One last question, Congressman. That has to do with one possible amendment that may be out there looking at you in the face very, very soon as you come to the floor. We're seeing it may be proposed on the Senate side as well. This is the so-called HSUS-UEP deal, the a deal that would codify the agreement between the United Egg Producers and the Humane Society on how eggs are produced, the size of cages for the hens and this type of thing. It's been introduced in the House, now been introduced in the Senate. A lot of talk about being a possible amendment to the House or Senate Ag Committee bill. Your thoughts about that type of legislation?
My friends at the Humane Society tend to operate more on emotion sometimes than they do science. I have a difficult time believing that it is in the best interest of the other 49 states that what probably was a flawed agreement in California should then be forced upon everybody else in the entire country.
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Frank Lucas, Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee and 3rd District Congressman for the northwestern half of the state of Oklahoma. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.